The sermon text this morning from Daniel, the third chapter. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered him and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from out of your hand, O King. But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Thus far the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. So this Sunday is all about service. God's word endures in service. And in this light, on Christian Ed Sunday, we do take time to thank all of those who serve the congregation by leading Sunday school of all ages, whether it is for small children or for adults. As we've already mentioned, all three of our texts revolve around serving and service. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will serve no other god but the God of Israel. Jesus declares that the one who is greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all, and the one who makes themselves the least. And while Paul in our epistle reading speaks to slaves and masters, we can certainly extrapolate that admonition to all of us. We are to serve from the heart, and not just when people have their eye on us, or when we could look good by serving. It's a complicated topic, even though it seems rather simple. I had looked up and, found this little booklet from Luther and Our Ministries, Love Thy Neighborhood. Wonderful little booklet from their Project Connect program, all about how we do things to serve our neighbors. That, as with most things, this can turn into a very, very tricky homily, especially when I'm trying to coalesce all of the things that are in my head and make them come out of my mouth in some kind of coherent, understandable fashion. Because what comes to my mind in service will strike most of us in one way or another. Some of it positive, some of it negative. There are those who are seated here who will probably have the thought, he's picking on me, he's talking about me. Like most other sermons, the experiences that I can deal with are my own experiences, and they come out of my own life experience. And as with the law and how the law works, an admonition to do or not to do something strikes those who have done it in a very, very difficult and hard way. And even if you know, even at the core of your being, you know that you are forgiven, right? You should also know that there are folks who haven't sinned in such a way, and they need both that admonishment and that encouragement to not do that. But when you hear those things, it pricks your conscience, and it does sometimes make you feel bad, and you have to wrestle with that. Now we think of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The real names are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those are the names their parents gave them. The three Hebrews who were thrown into the fiery furnace were given different names. They were given Babylonian names that were intended to conform them to Babylonian society. And when those boys were about 14-year-old, and as we've already said, their country lost a war to Babylon, they were hauled off as hostages. They were to be formed into Babylonians, adopting Babylonian customs and worshiping Babylonian gods. So at about the age of 7th, 8th, or freshman in high school, somewhere right in that age, these four young men, four boys, were tempted to abandon what we would call their catechism vows. They would be tempted to abandon the oaths they had taken to their God and be conformed to the world. That was the temptation that was before these four. About 3 years later, those boys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, somewhere between the ages of 17 years old and 18 years old, faced death for their God. They faced death for refusing to bend the knee and serve a different God. I've been 17. And I'm pretty confident most 17-year-olds abandon their God for much less than that. They will abandon their God for popularity, out of fear. They will abandon their God for adventure, or for drugs, or other things. So the question is for those of you who are here this morning between the ages of 14 and 20. Do you serve God? Or have you begun the process of being conformed to the world and shaped to the world? And you see, that's when I started thinking, at 53, could I even give my life in service to God? Could I do that? I'd like to think, and at least in my imagination, I'd be a hero of the faith. But I found out the sad truth of it is I can't even willingly serve my neighbor, my family, each and every day in everyday life. I can't do it without deep concentration and trying to do it. Because service is hard work. Perhaps I'm overly self-centered. Perhaps I'm lazy. I don't know. But what I do know and have come to understand is that serving someone is a choice that we make each and every hour of each and every day that we are alive. And we have to choose to do it. Maybe if we choose to do it in all the little things, when the big things come our way, we'll be able to do it without trying or without thinking about it. Because I do believe that everyday life is where it all begins at. Each and everyday life. It's really the small things. And I think the question before us this morning lies in those little things. Can we live for others over self? And what does living for others look like as we play that out each and every day? Because you know and I know we're all fallen creatures. Our old Adam wants us to serve self over serving others. So nothing in the realm of service comes naturally. It takes work and it takes constant thought. Can you serve others over self? And just what does that service over self look like? Can you die to self? And should you die to self before you can die for God? I think dying to self involves all of those little things. Dying to self and the little things means that we quit putting things off. Very simple things that start in the household. If the clothes are dirty, put them in the hamper. If the hamper is full, take it to the laundry room. If the baskets in the laundry room are full, start a load of laundry. And then everybody else in the family look at that person and say, "Thank you for doing such a thing for us." Eat what's cooked for you. Put your shoes away. Children, don't fight your parents about schoolwork. parents, actually listen to your children. Parents, can you serve? Moms and dads, can you serve by turning off your phone and putting your work aside for a while to pay attention to your children and what's going on in each and every one of their lives? Can you play a game at home? And I'm telling you, and they can tell you right there, I have a trouble, big trouble, and a big problem with not winning. So games are very difficult for me. But can you play a game at home and not have to win? Or some of you older children, can you play a game and not cheat to win? It's a big question. I know it hits every one of us different ways, but it happens inside of our houses all of the time. Can you be gracious to your spouse? That's serving them. Can you listen to your friends? I mean, picture one of your friends in your head. Can you listen to them? And I mean listen to them. Not stare at them and be a million miles away. Or not stare at them and before they're finished talking, already be formulating what you're going to say in response. Can you not use your own misery as competition to get more sympathy than you give out? That's hard work. It's hard work to be a servant in that way, to just listen to somebody and not let that listening turn into a competition of problems. Can you serve others by keeping gossip to yourself and letting it die with you? Do you see why I said this sermon is dangerous? I know. Because in all of those ways, on any given day, I have failed at each and every one of them. And then that failure leads me to wonder, can I really serve God? Think of those three Hebrew children. I wonder, and I often wonder, what did their daily life look like? What brought them to the ability to confess in the way that they confessed? What would their daily life look like that made them willing and able to forfeit their lives in service to God? What were the thousand little things of service that built them up to serve the God of Israel? The same God we worship. To serve with their very lives. And perhaps they prayed every day. We know Daniel prayed every day. It's clear that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served a conquering government. They served a conquering government diligently and with the skills that God had given them. And they dressed like Babylonians, and they spoke like Babylonians. And yet somehow, they were different than the people around them. Perhaps it was they were nice and cordial when everybody else in the royal court was backbiting and backstabbing fiends. These 17-year-olds lived out the Ten Commandments. And likely, these three weren't afraid to kneel before God and ask for forgiveness and ask for strength. Forgiveness from God for their sins. They had to be hard. They had no family. They had no temple. They had no synagogue. They had the quiet time in their rooms. And that was it. They didn't have church they could go to. And yet they remained faithful to the triune God. makes me wonder. I guess they didn't even have scripture with them. That wasn't carted with them to Babylon. They had in their heads what they learned as children, what they learned in what we would call Sunday school and catechism. And that faith was able to carry them to and through the fiery furnace. And so it is for we ourselves. We should not be afraid to ask our God for strength, and we should not be afraid to ask our God for forgiveness. And our forgiveness flows from one point, and you know what that point is. It's right there. Hey, Jesus, what happened to your hand? From those wounds flows your forgiveness. From those wounds flows your strength to serve those who are around you. To do it not out of self-interest, but out of a reflection for what your God has done for you. Because our God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to. He who is the creator of the universe took on human flesh, and being found in a form of a man, the Son of God humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He died for our forgiveness. He died for our sins, our failures, our weaknesses. This Son of God was not born to be served. He was born to serve. And we reflect this as we work and concentrate every day on being servants to one another. Honestly, I don't know what your gifts are. I don't know what your strengths are. I don't know where you have been gifted to serve God and to serve your neighbor. What I have figured out is that someday, one day, sometime, each and every one of us are going to come to a crossroad, a point in our lives where we will ask to be servants of our God or be conformed to the world. Will we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I don't know. Will we be like the disciples who devolve into arguing about who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I've got no clue. Can we serve when no one is looking? I hope so. And so I just think that today, honesty in our business dealings, not accelerating through a yellow light, because by golly, that scares the daylights out of the people sitting on the other side of the street. Picking up our socks, scraping our dishes into the trash can without our parents having to ask us to do it, and without complaining about it. Serving in a thousand little ways will prepare us to serve boldly when the time to serve boldly comes our way. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for strength to serve. And in such way, be an image of your God. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.